Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Our mission is to make disciples in Waycross, Ware County, Southeast Georgia, and the world beyond. We do that by teaching and doing our very best to live the truth of God on earth as it is in heaven and encouraging others along the way. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. You are an important part of our ministry. Thank you for making us part of your Lord's Day celebration. Please stay tuned after the message for information on how you can receive a CD of the broadcast, a free subscription to our monthly magazine, or how to contact us if you have any questions about what you hear. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to the book of Isaiah. I would like to read from Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah chapter 31. I did not ask Brother Joshua to sing number 50 that we just sang, but it expresses everything that's on my heart, everything that's in the subject that's on my heart this morning. My shepherd will supply my need. I pray that God will help us as we sang that song. If we believe what we said, then we're not going to have a problem of doing that we're going to be looking at this morning that's wrong, but rather we will trust our shepherd. My shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. In pastures fresh, he makes me feed beside the living stream. He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his way and leads me for his mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace. Each verse of that song talks about how God, who is our shepherd, how God takes care of us, how he guides us, how he leads us. And I pray that God will help us to trust in our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's no reason for you and I to be worrying about anything. There's no reason for us to run to something that is not a God and depend on things that are not God rather than depending on God. Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 1, I'll read the first three verses. Isaiah 31 beginning in verse 1 says, woe, anybody know what woe, W-O-E means? Woe means trouble is ahead. Woe unto them, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Now, Egypt here, Egypt represents the world and the flesh and ungodliness. Woe to them that go down to Egypt. Woe to them that run to the world for help. There are two main words I want you to remember as we read this first verse. One is help. Do you ever need help? Where does your help come from? Who do you look to for help? Do you look to God for help, or do you look to other things and other, do you look to the world for help? For example, you have a headache. What's the first thing that you do? Do you get an aspirin? Do you go to the cabinet, get an aspirin, take an aspirin? Or is the first thing you do is to pray for God to help you get rid of that headache? Whenever you have other kinds of illness, is the first thing you do look to the great physician, or do you look to medicine and call doctors? And then if you end up in the hospital and they can't find out what's wrong, then you might eventually go to the great physician and pray fervently. But I would encourage you that you reverse all of that, and as soon as you have a problem, whether it's a medical problem or whether it's a financial problem or a family problem or any other kind of trouble that you might have, as soon as you have a problem, go to the one who can help you. My shepherd will supply my need. Now, am I telling you that you're not to ever take an aspirin or not ever go to a doctor? I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that you need to recognize that medicine and doctors and hospitals, they're to no avail without the great physician. And if the main thing that you're going to for help, if you're looking to help in other areas before you look to God for help, then you've got things reversed. You've got the cart before the horse. I believe that God has given us many people and things to help us in this world. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2, that it was not good that the man should live alone. So God made a helper for the man. He made a woman, and that was his helper. Now God is the one that provided that helper. If I begin to depend primarily, if I think my bride is my helper, and I don't recognize that God is the one that gave me that helper, then I'm going to begin to give glory to her and worship her rather than worshiping God, who is the one that gave me that helper. I hope everybody understands that we have a lot of helpers, but we need to understand God is the source of all help. And every help that we ever look to, we need to remember that first we need to go to the source of all true help, and that source of help is God. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. So remember that first, help. And stay on horses and trust, and that second word I want you to remember, trust in chariots because there are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. That is, they trust in natural strength. They trust in the army. What do you think? What do you think it is? Why do you think it is that the United States of America has not experienced daily tragedy like we experienced on September the 11th in 2001? Did you know that tragedy could have been worse every day than it was on that day? That's the worst tragedy that we have experienced as a nation in my lifetime. That was the most number of people that was killed in one day on our soil in my lifetime. And yet there's a reason that hasn't continued to happen every day. And that's not because of our military. It's not because of our expertise in defending ourselves. It's only because God has protected us. So we need to remember God is our helper, and we need to trust in the Lord. Don't trust in horsemen or chariots or in people. Don't trust in money. Don't trust in other things, but trust in God. And so he says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they're very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Now, the last part of that says that the main problem is not only that they're looking to the world for their help, not only are they trusting in the world, but they are no longer looking to God. They're not really looking to God, except as an afterthought. Sometimes we do that. We go through all the other avenues, and then as an afterthought, we say, oh yes, we need to pray about that too. I'm telling you, the beginning of all things that we need to do when we're having trouble, the beginning of every day, you need to be praying, God, you are my helper. I need your help. And I'm calling first and foremost, and in everything I face today, the first thing I'll do is call on the name of the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Look at verse 3. Still in Isaiah 31, verse 3, he says, now the Egyptians, now what did he say in the first part of Isaiah 31? He said, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. And then he says in verse 3, now the Egyptians, and remember now, the children of Israel suffered more in Egyptian bondage than they did in any other judgment that they ever had in their lives. And that's the world. And yet they went to Egypt for help when the Assyrians were coming against them. They went to Egypt for help. They went to their number one enemy. And you and I sometimes will go right to the devil and depend on the devil. We'll contradict God's word and God's way. We'll turn away from God and go down to Egypt for help. And here's what God says about the Egyptians in verse 3. He says, now, the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they shall fall together. What's God saying here? He says, you go ahead and call on the Egyptians, but I'm telling you, they are not God, they are men. And their horses are flesh and not spirit. And he says, whenever I send forth my judgment, they that are helping you, that's the Egyptians, they shall fall, and those who are being helped, they shall fall too. God will not give his glory to another. God requires his people to trust in him and to look to him for the help that they need every day. The book of Zechariah, chapter 4 and verse 6, God says, not by might, that is natural might or human strength, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's the Spirit of God, it's the power of God that helps the people of God in their lives. And therefore, who is it that we ought to be trusting in every day? We ought to be trusting in God. I woke up early this morning, had trouble going to sleep last night, studying and meditating on this, and woke up about 5 o'clock this morning, and I was praying for several people that are in great need of God's help. But I got to thinking about this subject and about the things that we depend on today. One of the things that came to my mind is insurance. I want you to just help me for about a moment name some of the kinds of insurance that we have. We have life insurance, right? We have life insurance. Most of us have. How many of you have some form of life insurance? Okay, we have health insurance. How many of you have some form of health insurance? Hold up your hand. How many of you that have homes have some kind of fire insurance or home insurance? You just about can't have a house without having that. Can't have a mortgage without having that. You also have, help me name some more, some other kinds of insurance. Okay, car insurance. Most everybody here has car insurance. If you drive an automobile, it's required by law that you have at least liability insurance. All kinds of insurance. You add up all that we're spending on insurance, and it takes a tremendous amount of your paycheck and the money that you work hard for the insurance that you pay for. In fact, now our nation is just being oppressed by the government, and we're going to be forced to have insurance. And I thought about this early this morning. My granddaddy never had any kind of insurance. He didn't have life insurance. Didn't have home insurance. Didn't have car insurance. It wasn't required back then. Do you understand that insurance is something that we're having today? And therefore, what do we trust in? Let's say I'm getting old and I don't have any life insurance. Might I panic or my family panic if I have no life insurance? Would it bother you to have no life insurance? Would it bother you to have no health insurance? My grandfather had no health insurance. Do you know what they did when they got sick 75 years ago? They might see a doctor, very, very little medication. A lot of those people that are in the nursing home right now that are 80 and 90 years old, they had no insurance when they were young. Do you understand? My point is that we have begun to depend on all these man-made ways to protect us and take care of us, and we then sometimes forget to trust in the Lord. Am I saying it's wrong to have health insurance, life insurance, all of that? I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying this. When you reach a point that you can't afford life insurance and health insurance and all those other things, I want you to know, Brother Andy, that when you die, if I'm still living, me and Brother David can build a box to put you in. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? And by the way, that's what Teresa has requested, is that when she dies, is that some of the men just build a wooden box and don't be wasting thousands of dollars. We have all this idea that we're going to have a vault And we're going to have a casket, and we're going to spend $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 on a burial that's going to last a day or two, and they're going to be put down in the ground. I'm telling you, brethren, we've lost our minds on the amount of money that we think that we have to have. It doesn't take a lot of money to dig a hole. You know how they used to bury people 75 years ago? The friends built the box. The friends dug the hole. The friends sat up with the body. I'm telling you, brethren, you and I need to understand we don't have to have all these things. And worse than that is that we are depending on them and we think we have security in them. Did my grandfather have Social Security? No, he did not. Didn't have Social Security. Did he have Social Security? Did he have personal security? Do you know who he trusted in to take care of him in old age? Do you know who he took care of? When his parents got old, you know what nursing home they went to? There was no nursing home. It's a new thing we've come up with that's very expensive. We think we have to have all these things today. I'm telling you, we can get back to living just like they did 200 years ago or 100 years ago. And you and I can get along with a lot less than we have today. And we need to learn that we are, whether we realize it or not, we are sometimes trusting in those things of the world and feel very insecure if something happens. And we don't have all of those safety nets to catch us. Does everybody follow? Please don't think I'm off on a tangent and I'm a nut. But I'm telling you, we need to learn that we're trusting in all these safety nets and we're not trusting in the Lord. That's the fact. We might think we're not. But the fact is we're trusting in the things of this world. We're not trusting enough in the Lord. And I pray that God will help us. You can have life insurance. You can have health insurance. You can have car insurance. You can have all you want to have, but I'm telling you, if that's what you're trusting in, then you're guilty of what God says here. Whoa, troubles ahead to those that trust in Egypt. And that's what I think we're trusting in today is Egypt. We're trusting in the world. And if they're not going to give us that security, we don't know what we're going to do. I'll tell you, people that don't work, listen carefully to what I'm saying. There are people that cannot provide for themselves. Those people are to be cared for and taken care of. But people that are too lazy to work and will not work, and a lot of the money that you're spending in taxes, that's who it's going for. Illegitimate children and people that won't work and people that are laying around doing nothing except robbing and stealing and cheating and taking drugs and drinking, and you're supporting them with your tax dollars. The Bible says those that do not work, neither should they eat. It's wrong. It's an abomination in the sight of God for you and I to be helping take care of people that will not work. Who's going to take care of you? Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to take care of you? You know, the first people that are responsible for taking care of you is your family. That's who's responsible for taking care of you. Brother Terry Smith, the main people that are responsible for taking care of him are his daughters. That's the ones that are primarily responsible. Now, the Bible knows all about what will happen. The Bible says, now, if a person's family doesn't take care of them, then whose responsibility is it to take care of them? It's the church's responsibility. I'll tell you, brethren, we need to get back to what God's Word teaches. We need to get back to trusting in the Lord and following God's Word and stop going down to Egypt for help. My God, what did we just sing? My God shall supply. We sang, my shepherd will supply my need. Does that mean you're always going to have? What if your house burns down, Brother Tandy, 100 years ago? What if your house burns down? Are you going to suffer loss? Sure, you're going to suffer loss. If your house burns down now, you're going to suffer loss. But 100 years ago when your house burned down or your barn burned down, what happened 100 years ago? You built it back or you and your neighbors all worked together? I'll tell you, brethren, anybody 100 years ago that had a problem, their neighbors, their family, and their friends took care of them. There was no insurance to take care of them. There was no Egypt. There was no government. There was no big brother in the sky. It was our Heavenly Father that took care of us, took care of them. He'll still take care of you. He is able to take care of you. Don't worry. That's the main essence of what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, look at the birds. Who feeds the birds? God does. who clothes the fields? God does. Who is it that takes care of you every day when you're not even realizing it? And though we prayed earlier this morning, give us this day our daily bread. Just think for a moment. How many of you actually thought about, Lord, I hope you'll give me this day my daily bread? Don't answer out loud. Don't raise your hand. Just think. You said the words. Most of you said the words. Give us this day our daily bread. Question is, are you just mechanically saying those words? Or do you really recognize you think you have it in your freezer? You think you have it in your cabinet. But all that has to happen is God release something and that food's all gone. Doesn't matter how much you've got stored up. Doesn't matter how much you've got in your bank. It can all be gone. It can be gone just like that. Every bit of it. Who's going to take care of you? My shepherd will supply. My Father will supply. My Savior will supply. When God's people are trusting in Him, David makes this statement. He said, I have been young and I'm now old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You won't ever see it. There has never been an example of godly, righteous people that were begging. I'm telling you, brethren, you and I need to get back close to God and trust in the Lord. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and forget about God. Look at Isaiah 41. Go forward in your Bibles just two or three pages to Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. The Word of God says in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, fear thou not. Don't be afraid. How many of you are concerned about Obamacare? The only thing that concerns me is the government is taking over your life and mine. We're in bondage. We're in bondage to an evil and corrupt government. And they're going to take everything you've got away if you let them. What does God say in Isaiah 41:10? Fear thou not. What does God say to you this morning? Don't be afraid. Fear thou not, for, why? I am with thee. God is with us. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will, what's the next word? Help thee. What does Isaiah 31 say? Woe to them that go down to Egypt for what? Help. What does God say? I will help thee. Everything you need, I will supply. I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 43. Are you going to have to go through troubles in your life? You're going to have to go through hard times? Isaiah 43, verse 1, he says, in the middle of verse 1, Isaiah 43, in the middle of that verse, he says, fear not. In verse 2, Isaiah 43, in verse 2, he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. You know what these waters and fire and river, you know what they're talking about? They're talking about trouble in your life. You're going to have trouble in your life? You may be doing wonderful right now. You're going to have trouble. It's not if it comes, when it comes, it will come. And when thou passest through the waters, God says, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy what? What's that next word? Thy what? Thy Savior. Now, he was my Savior 2,000 years ago at Calvary. But did you know he's also my Savior every day of my life? He saves me. Do you know why I'm here today? Do you know why I am able to be here today? Do you know why I'm alive today? It's because of my Savior. Do you know why you're alive? Do you know why when you woke up this morning that every member of your family was still alive? It's because your Savior kept them alive during the night. Do you know why your brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know why they're alive today? Because your Savior has been working. Do you know why America is not being bombarded with bombs today? It's because your Savior is working. What does God say? He said, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and don't trust in God. Back up in your Bibles to Psalm 46 very quickly. Psalm 46, listen to what the Scripture says there. Psalm 46, you probably know these three verses by heart, but I want you to remember them and memorize them if you don't already know them by heart, because this begins by talking about God is our helper, and then it begins to talk about troubles that come. God's going to be with us in those troubles. Look now at Psalm 46. Psalm 46, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present. What's the next word? God is a very present help in trouble. He's a very present help. Did you know, I can't always be with you. Does everybody understand that? Your wife, your husband, your children, your family can't always be with you. But God is always with you. In the middle of the night, when you're up all night, sick or hurting or burdened, you can't wake up everybody. It won't do a lot of good to wake up everybody. They don't feel the pain that you feel in your heart. They may love you and they may sit up with you, but eventually they'll get tired and they'll go on back to bed. But Jesus will sit up with you all night long. He never slumbers and he never sleeps. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Did you know there's some of you that are so happy to be in the house of the Lord today, and others are just here? Some are probably even sad to be here, don't want to be here. But did you know it's a joy to be in the house of the Lord? It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad God's given you the strength to be able to be here today. I'm glad God's given you the ability to be here. I'm glad God's given you the desire to be here. I'm glad that you understand that we have a very present help in trouble. Look at verse 2. He says, because God is my help, because he's my refuge, because he's my strength. In verse 2, he says, therefore will not we fear. If you're afraid, guess what you're not doing? Guess what you're, well, let me reverse that. If you're afraid, guess what you're trusting in? Give me one word, a five-letter word. What are you trusting in from the text? What are you trusting in if you're worrying? Egypt. Egypt, big term for world, etc. If you're worrying, okay, what you're worrying about, if you're worrying, it's because you're not looking to your Father. It's because you don't believe, my shepherd will. I didn't ask Brother Josh to sing that song, but you see how everything we're looking at goes right back to that song that God had him to choose right before the sermon. My shepherd will supply my need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All the statements that are in the Word of God, they ought to make us so happy, so glad we don't have to trust in Egypt. I'm glad I don't have to depend on the world to take care of me. Because you remember when Israel trusted in Egypt and God told them this, he says, both those that have tried to help you and you, you're all going to fall together. The world, this economy, this government that people are trusting in, it's going to fall. And when it falls, if you haven't already been trusting in the Lord, you're going to fall with it. If that's your God, if that's what you've been trusting in, down you go. But if you've been trusting in the Lord, he's going to hold you up. Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. Doesn't matter what happens to the world. In Psalm 46, the psalmist is saying, I'm okay. My God is with me. My shepherd will supply my need. Go back to Psalm 20 just a moment. Psalm 20, look at this. This is amazing how the Word of God, is just the same truths are just intertwined. But look at Psalm 20. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Psalm 20 and verse 7. David says this. He says, some trust in chariots. You remember what Isaiah said? Woe to them that trust in chariots and horsemen and all those other things. He says in Psalm 20, verse 7, he says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. We'll call on the name of the Lord. He's my helper. He's my strength. And he never will forsake. Therefore, we can boldly say, I will not fear what man will do unto me. I will not fear what the devil and all of his angels try to do to me, because my shepherd will supply my need. I pray that God will help all of us this morning. Trust in the Lord and look to him for help and stop depending on the helps of this world is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast. We hope you have enjoyed and were blessed by the first message. Now, on to the second message for today, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians. I would like to read from Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I'd like to read just one verse of Scripture. I encourage you to read the book of Colossians. I love to take a book and just in one reading, and it usually doesn't take 30 or 40 minutes to read a book of the Bible, most of the books of the Bible. And you get a beautiful big picture when you look at the book in its entirety. I want to come to one of the last statements in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17 again says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. I want us to talk about that word ministry tonight. If I were to ask you, Brother Andy, are you in the ministry? Yes. As we understand what the Word of God means when it talks about ministry or being a minister, the Word of God does not at all limit that to being a preacher, but rather every born-again child of God has, I'm going to say, not only one ministry, but you have a lot of different ministries in your life. The word minister means to be a servant. Some of my ministries are very short ministries. That is, I may have a ministry with an individual. That ministry may not last 15 minutes. And that's the last and only time that I see that person. And yet God put me in the presence of that person to in some way minister to them. There are those that minister in their vocations and in their occupation. I believe that every one of you, if you have a job somewhere that you go to, you have a ministry in that job. I believe that those of you that are children that are going to school and furthering your education, you have a ministry at school. You have a ministry as a child to your parents. All of you who are parents, you have a ministry to your children. My wife has a ministry to me. I have a ministry to her. All of us have many different ministries in our life. There are some primary and main ministries or services that God has called us to do. And that's, I think, what was primarily under consideration when the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the saints at Colossae, and said to one particular person in the church, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now, there are a lot of times, I think probably, there have been a lot of ministries, there have been a lot of occasions that God has called me to do something, and I have maybe even been there to do the work, but I did not fulfill the ministry. There are a lot of things going on in my life right now, and I pray that God will help me to realize that it's important that I fulfill every ministry, every work, every service that God has called me to do. It is important that I fulfill it, that is, that I finish that ministry. I'll give you an example I thought of today. I had a ministry at Baptist Village for about 18 years, that every once a week I went there and preached the Word of God and served the people of God there. And then I got very sick, and Brother David, God, I believe, called him to fulfill his ministry there. I believe that I fulfilled my ministry. Doesn't mean that I don't still go to Baptist Village. Doesn't mean that I don't still visit. But it does mean that the ministry that I had there after 18 years, that ministry was over. But then God sent someone else who was able to go there and preach and teach and serve the people of God there. The ministry of the people today, this afternoon, going to the nursing home, the young people that went there to sing. That was a ministry that we've set aside a time that you have the opportunity, all of us that have the ability to sing and make the joyful noise unto the Lord, especially those who have children, that is a ministry that you need to be involved in. It's a ministry that you may or may not be fulfilling that ministry, and I just want to encourage all of you that you would fulfill every ministry that God has for you to be doing. Those that drive the bus and go around to the nursing homes, that is one of the most important ministries that this church has, is to pick up the people in the nursing home. There are other people that just visit in the nursing home. That is an extremely important ministry that you have. The Trumpet of Truth ministry, all the work that goes in to compiling and editing and proofreading, and then all the labels and the packages and all that goes into getting the Trumpet of Truth magazines distributed every month, that takes a lot of hours of work. There are people that have committed themselves to that ministry, and they work hard in fulfilling their ministry. You see, you can fulfill one part of the ministry, but the ministry may be with you the rest of your life. Tonight, I have a ministry of preaching the Word tonight. Now, that ministry that I'd better fulfill tonight, that's a ministry that can be fulfilled right now. And yet there is a long-term, this is one part of a long-term ministry that God has called me to here at the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. So every day you parents have a ministry to work with your children, and yet it's a long-term ministry. We all have so many different ministries, and I just want us to understand that God is the one who has called us and given us these ministries, and you are a minister, and you need to be praying that God will help you to fulfill your ministry. I'm going to say that word ministry would include all the ministries that God has for you to do. Pray. Pray that God will help you as you try to fulfill your ministries. I want us to back up just a moment, and I know you know this passage by heart, but I want you to back up to Matthew 25, because these are some ministries. A lot of times people don't recognize these are ministries, but there are six ministries mentioned here in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34, going through verse 40. And there are great blessings that come to those who fulfill these ministries. Now, I want to say that I believe that God has called every one of you in these six ministries. I don't believe that anyone who is a Christian has not been called to do the six ministries that are described here in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34. And did you know the blessing that comes to the children of God who fulfill this ministry is that they enter into the kingdom of heaven? He says in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34, please look in your Bibles. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34, Jesus, the scripture says, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Do you hear what they were going to enter into? It was not eternal heaven. It was inherit the what? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. It is described and defined in Romans 14:17 as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us this kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is within us. The Bible tells us so much about the kingdom of heaven. That is the thrust of the message of the New Testament, is about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said to these people on his right hand, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Is there a period at the end of verse 34? Is there a period there, or is there a colon? That colon at the end of the verse means, here's the reasons that you enter the kingdom. He says, for I was in hungered, and ye gave me meat. Is that a ministry right there? I was in hungered, and ye gave me meat. Is that a ministry right there? That's a ministry. Let me just mention this. All of these people in the nursing home, did you know all of them have something that they really, really like to eat? There are all kinds of things. For example, I know one dear sister, I'm just going to mention some things that some that have gone home to be with the Lord. One of them really loved peas and black-eyed peas and fatback. It was a chunk of fat about 2 inches wide by 2 inches wide by about 4 inches long. And she would eat those black-eyed peas that you would take out there, and then she would take that fat back, and she would eat that. You might say, oh, that's going to kill her. Listen, she was 90 years old. She had been eating like that all of her life. They all have some food that if you'll just ask them what is their favorite food, they'll tell you, and you can start carrying that food and ministering to them. And I want you to remember, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you're going to get tired if you're ever in a nursing home. You're going to get tired of that nursing home food. And if somebody will care enough about you just to go get a hamburger, just to bring you a bowl of peas, just to bring you something different, some home-cooked food, they will rejoice. And Jesus is pleased. And Jesus will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You carried out, you fulfilled this ministry. Now, don't go do it one time and then talk about it for 20 years. You haven't fulfilled the ministry if you do something like that one time. You've got to keep on doing it in order to fulfill your ministry. As long as you live, there are many things that you can do over and over and over again. So he says, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Hospitality, taking people into your house. That's one of the things. That's a ministry. I was a stranger and you took, doesn't matter whether it's one meal or whether it's taking them in overnight, or sometimes people stay a week and sometimes people stay. My great aunt and uncle had a man that came to their house and he ended up staying there 25 years. Jack was his name. You know, that was a long time to take somebody in. And they did a lot like the Shunammite woman did about, was it Elisha or Elijah? Elisha, I believe. Elijah, one of those two. That Shunammite woman said to her husband, let's build us a little room. Let's add a little room on the wall of this house and put a table and a candle and a bed in there. They took that servant of God in. Servant of God, that mean minister, preacher? Does it have to be a preacher? Absolutely not. Though that man was a prophet of God, there are a lot of servants of God that you can take in. He says in verse 36, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. What is pure religion? James 1, verse 27, the Word of God says that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit, to visit, to visit. And if we're not visiting, we are not fulfilling our ministry. I will say to everybody here, every able-bodied person here, that means everybody that's here, you have a responsibility to visit. Pure religion is to visit. And if you're not visiting, you're not fulfilling your ministry. And what Paul says in Colossians 4:17 to Archippus, he says, you take heed to the ministry that Jesus has told you to do and fulfill that ministry. Finish it. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you finish something? Those people that know how to build something, those people that know how to work on an engine, those people that know how to do all kinds of things, make a quilt, sew up a buttonhole, whatever it is that you can do, it's a blessing, it's a good feeling when you finish a task. And that's what this is talking about, is you be sure that you're fulfilling your ministry. I'm not going to go and read all of this. You're familiar with this passage of Scripture. Do you see that there's a lot of ministries that God has called you to do? And he says, you better take heed that you fulfill those ministries. Now, turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I want you to notice this very carefully. Luke chapter 10, all of us know about Mary and Martha and Jesus going into their home. But there are several things that I think the Lord has shown me in studying this week that I haven't ever noticed before in particular. But in Luke chapter 10, let me ask you this. What do y'all think was Martha's main problem? Martha, Martha, thou art what? Cumbered about with what? Much serving. Thou art cumbered about with much serving. Did you know that serving comes from the exact same Greek word as ministry? Thou art cumbered about with much ministry. You have a lot of ministry. Well, now, according to Matthew 25, was feeding those people and taking them into your home, was that a ministry that God is well pleased with? I want you to know that there are some things that take precedence over other parts of your ministry. And one of the most important things that you're to ever do is that you're to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the Word of God. If you ever miss the assembling of yourself in the house of God and say, well, I was visiting in the nursing home instead of going to church, then you're just like Martha. You're coming about with much serving. You're doing a ministry, but Jesus is just not pleased with that, because Jesus is to have you. You are to be in the house of God to hear the Word of God. Look now at Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. And now it came to pass as they went, that is, Jesus and His other disciples, and that as they went, that He, that is Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. Was that a ministry right there? She received Him into her house. Does she fit the category of some of those mentioned in Matthew 25 that we just looked at? Was it a good thing for her to receive Him into her house? Was it a good thing? Was it a good thing for her to prepare food for Him? Yes, that was another part of the ministry that she was to fulfill. It's just that at that point in time, that was not the time to be cooking, because there was something else more important. You follow that? He says that she received Martha. You notice that? It doesn't say Mary. It says Martha received Him into her house. Verse 39 says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Again, that word serving, same as the word minister. Comes from the exact same, come about with much ministering. And then the scripture says, and she came to Him and said, Lord, that's Martha came to Jesus, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone, to minister alone? I'm ministering by myself. Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is more important. One part of your ministry is to hear the Word of God, to sit at the feet of Jesus. He says, one thing is needful. One thing is most important. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary, at this point in time, the most important thing for her to do was not to be preparing the meal. Could they have both sat at Jesus' feet and heard the Word of God? And then could they have both gone in and prepared the meal? Absolutely. They weren't going to starve to death. You see, there's two different ministries that we need to remember that you and I have a part of. One is taking care of people's body, feeding them, caring for them. And the other is taking care of people's soul. That's feeding them the Word of God. Both are important ministries. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, and you'll see that both of those ministries are emphasized as a major part of the church. The ministry of feeding the body and the ministry of feeding the soul are both part of the ministry that you and I are to be engaged in. Acts chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, that's the Jews against the Gentiles, or Gentiles against the Jews, because their widows, that's the Gentile widows, were neglected in the daily, what's the next word? What's the last word? They were neglected in the daily what? Ministrations. What is that? What does the word minister mean? Serving. How are they being neglected in the serving? What is it they were not being served? What were they not being served? It's the food. It's the natural things. It was the material things that those women needed. And those widows were supposed to be cared for. And they were neglected in the daily ministration. That's things they needed for their body. Verse 2 says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve or minister to tables. What do those 12 apostles tell us right there? The most important thing is not the food that we give to people. The natural food, the most important thing, is the spiritual food. And there are those who have been given the job of feeding the flock of God, the pastors who are servants. Their number one job, my number one job, is to feed the flock of God, to feed them with spiritual food. You're to help me, and you do help me, but and you can feed people the Word of God. Now, I just want you to know that the disciples said here, the apostles said, we're not going to leave the ministry, the main ministry we've been called to do. We're not going to leave the ministry of preaching the word in order to go minister to their tables. You follow that? Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Does everybody hear what their ministry, that number one ministry was? The number one ministry of deacons. In fact, the only scriptural work of deacons is to take care of widows. Nothing else in the word of God other than take care of widows. It's not their responsibility to make sure the temperature is right. We think the deacon's responsible for this, that, and the other that don't have any scriptural authority for thinking that's his job. The ministry. What is my number one ministry, Brother Andy? Ministry of the what? Ministry of the word. Preach the word. What is Brother David's number one ministry? Taking care of widows, except on Wednesday morning and other times that he is ministering in the word. That is his most important ministry at that time. Does everybody follow that? You're not to ever neglect Wednesday morning to go be taking care of widows. That's a ministry you have. And the ministry of the word takes precedence over the ministry of the food. Very quickly, go to a couple of other scriptures. Look at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. Please follow this. I've only got two or three other scriptures, but I want you to listen carefully because it's leading up to something very important. Acts chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. The scripture says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Isn't that a wonderful blessing for the word of God to be growing and multiplying? Do you know why the word of God was growing and multiplying? It's because the church was following the order that God gave them. Those that were to be ministering in the word, they were being supported financially, and they were given that responsibility. Your number one works, feed the flock of God. Ministry of the word. We'll take care of all these other things. You concentrate on the ministry of the word. And so the word of God grew and multiplied. Why? Because they followed God's order. That's, I believe, one reason the Lord has blessed this church, to multiply the word of God. You realize the not only the trumpet of truth ministry, not only the preaching on the radio every week and the preaching here in the house of God, there are so many ways that the word of God is multiplied. We were off there a couple of weeks. We got calls from all around this area, not just Waycross. They listen to it every week. It's absolutely amazing. I never get out in this community, hardly ever, do I get out in the community and get around a lot of people that I don't have somebody say, oh, I know who you are. They said, I have a strange voice, and they can tell it's me from hearing me on the radio. They don't say, I have a strange voice. They said, a different voice or something. Different people say different things, but you understand. You hear the voice. You recognize the voice. That's a ministry. You know what's being multiplied? The word of God is being multiplied. The word of God grew and multiplied. Now, verse 25. We're in Acts 12, verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had, what's the next word? Fulfilled their what? Their ministry. What a wonderful thing. They could retire now. They had fulfilled their ministry. No, not their big ministry. One little part of their ministry, a ministry was for them to go and preach the word at Jerusalem. And then when they fulfilled that ministry, then they returned from Jerusalem. And when they had fulfilled their ministry, they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. You see, you've got short-term ministries, and you have long-term ministries. I have a ministry right now, but I'll have lots of times this week that I'll be teaching and preaching the Word of God. And I want to say this, how much I appreciate a church that most of you know that I go to other places and I teach the Word of God. I have never heard anybody complain, say, we're not taking care of you to just take care of Waycross or just take care of this church. My job as a minister of the gospel is to work with this church primarily. You're my number one responsibility, but I've got a responsibility in this community, and I've got a responsibility everywhere God opens a door, and every door that opens is not of God. But everywhere God opens the door and burdens my heart to go, I better go teach and preach. And I thank God that you support me in that ministry of spreading the Word of God. Lots of other scriptures. Let me go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Listen carefully. While you're turning to 1 Corinthians 16, all of you know that God has given to us the ministry, to all of us, God has given the ministry of reconciliation. I'm not going to have time to get to that. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18, that God has given to you and you and you the ministry of reconciliation. That is, I need to reconcile my way to God's way. I need to reconcile you to God. I'm talking about I need to work to convert you when you're going contrary to God's word. And I also have a responsibility, and you have a responsibility, to tell other people about the reconciliation that Jesus did 2,000 years ago when he reconciled us to God the Father. So God's given us all the ministry of reconciliation. Now, in closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, listen to verses 15 and 16. I try to work with people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol, and that's a very, very, very difficult thing. I don't have a lot of success with that. Working with somebody right now, and I ask you to pray that God will help me in working with them. It's a whole family is on the brink of destruction if God doesn't help this daddy to get over that. Do you understand? I beseech you, brethren, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Isn't that wonderful? I just mentioned lots of addictions are terrible, but these saints of God addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, what was that ministry of the saints? What was it limited to? Food, clothing, shelter, everything. Ministering everything the saints need. And all of them need different things, but you and I need to be addicted to the ministry that God has called us to, and we need to pray, God, help me to finish, to fulfill the work that you've given me to do, the ministry that you've put me in, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. We are committed to helping every child of God grow in their Christian walk with the Lord. If you would like a free subscription to our monthly magazine or a CD of the broadcast you just heard, please write us at the Trumpet of Truth, 655 Acock Road, Waycross, Georgia, 31503.